This is the last time I make you start, I swear.
Okay.
So well, many crises.
100th time's the charm.
That's right. Welcome back to Prosecco Theory.
We're getting back into our groove here.
It feels like forever.
Technical difficulties, and it's been weeks since we've been recording in our normal spot.
Yeah.
We're pulling things together, though.
I think that we need to start by discussing the fact that it is 8:22 p.m., and I think it feels like 3:22 a.m.
Yeah. In fact, I made a joke about this the other day to Liz and Chris. It's time to start the conversation that we have every single time we see each other about how, oh my God, it's dark so early. Oh my God, I'm so tired. Oh my God, it feels so late. Yeah.
You literally did try to tell me the other day that you really weren't going to stay too much longer, and it was 7:15.
Well, I said, it's not going to be a late night for us here, Michelle. And you were like, it's 7:30. And I was like, oh, well, we can be here a few more hours.
Yeah. I think you can make it.
It felt like it was 10.
For real. Ugh. I think I'm ready for hibernation.
Well, it is November, and this weather is happening much later this year than it normally does. The chilly, I don't even want to leave my house type weather.
Yeah, but I'm feeling it. It is November 1st. That means yesterday was Halloween.
That's right.
And we didn't have to accompany any children trick-or-treating. I would have, except my 9-year-old's in a wheelchair, so that didn't happen. But
it is the first year that our children received a potato trick-or-treating.
I'm really excited about this bizarre trend that's happening. It's sweeping the nation.
Yeah, I tried to look this up, and I think it started as a joke somewhere, like Colorado or something.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of caught on. And the weird thing is that our kids weren't like, oh, how strange, I got a potato.
They were like,
oh my God, look at my potato. I got a potato. And I'm like, I don't get it. Is this a TikTok thing? Like,
yeah, the house that they got them at, their choices were like a toy, a little, you know, cheap dollar store type toy, or a potato. And of course, in that scenario, you choose a potato. But I also saw,
I don't know, I might choose the toy if I was a kid.
But it's like, you know, party favor junk toys. It's not like good toys. And these kids are 12 and 13. So, yeah. But I saw a post from somewhere, I don't even know where it originated, today saying that they had a giant bowl of candy and they would put a potato on the top of it. And almost half the kids or something like that picked potato over candy.
And yeah, they said, you choose potato or piece of candy.
Right. And I guess they're going to get candy at every other house. So why not choose the weird thing? But right. Still, it's very bizarre and I love it.
Yeah. Well, the potato is saying, pick me, which is such a great segue.
You were working hard for that one.
Actually, I swear to God, just came to me in the moment. It was pretty cheesy, but
I learned a phrase today because Megan learned a phrase from her children. And now you need to tell everybody else.
I learned a phrase. Well, I learned once again that I'm getting old.
But I every day I learn that over and over.
I learned a phrase from my daughter and her friends when I was driving them to softball practice the other day, because I was inquiring about another girl that is friends with them that I know. And I was told, yeah, we're still friends, but she is a little challenging lately. And I said, why is that? And they said, well, she's kind of a pick me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Did you say pig me?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought you said at first as well.
And they said pick me, like the words pick and me.
Like pick me, pick me.
Right. Like we have an episode called that.
Literally those four
words. But it almost sounds like it's one word, pick me. And so I said, I don't understand. What is a
pick
me?
Please explain.
So the way that they explained it is, a pick-me girl is a girl who really, really likes attention, particularly from guys. And she will do, you know, whatever it takes to be seen as like one of the guys and one of their crew and whatever she can do to get attention from them.
Yeah. And I feel like there's more describing we can do about that, but I'm still very new to this concept. I mean, this is not a new concept at all. But that phrase, just like everything else on TikTok, they're like coming up with phrases for things that have existed forever.
Right. So apparently it's a hashtag both Pick Me and Pick Me Girl have like billions of views for videos that have that hashtag embedded. I don't know how it works. I'm not TikTok. Michelle and I watched some of them earlier, and it was pretty on par with what they were saying. A lot of it was, you know, girls like really wanting to be seen as one of the guys, and all my friends are guys, or I only have like one female friend because I mostly hang out with guys.
Because all those other girls are too catty and bitchy, and I'm not like that.
I don't do drama.
I'm not like the other girls.
Right.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. Which I think that we all either know those people or were those people. And I feel like, okay, I had a lot of male friends in high school.
Are you saying you were a pick me?
I also had female friends.
Okay.
So
weren't like obsessed with being one of the guys and...
No, I'm not trying to label myself at all. I'm just setting up a scenario and then you can tell me what you think.
I'm ready.
Okay. I had a big group of male friends in high school and some female friends. I mean, probably in equal numbers. And there were a couple of the guys in that group of friends that I definitely had crushes on and ultimately hooked up with at some point.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
Yeah.
Like I went to prom with one of them that was like just a friend and, you know, he was a wonderful guy. Like I was genuinely good friends with these guys.
Right.
And I did often think of myself like trying to stay out of the drama, not being the gossipy, bitchy, catty, blah, blah, you know. But it wasn't like some point of pride that I bragged about or anything and like made sure to tell people I'm not like other girls. So I don't know. What would you say?
Well, I don't think it quite fits the description for a few reasons. One, you also had multiple female friends.
Yeah.
Two, you weren't pushing yourself into that scenario where the guys were kind of like, what? Okay. Because that's sort of the sense that I've gotten from some of the videos we saw. The girl sort of like pushing her way in like, see, I'm one of the guys. I'm just like you.
Yeah,
you
know, that's true.
I love all the same things you guys do.
And yeah. I never pretended to want to sit there and play, you know, Call of Duty. Was that a thing when we were in high school? Probably not. Whatever games with them and, you know, watch football all the time or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a pretending thing is what I get, because it's one thing if you do have a lot of guy friends and you do like some of the things that they like or a lot of the things that they like and it's authentic. But I think part of the pick me is pretending that you like all the things that they like and you're just like them so that you can be a part of their crew.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound to me like that's what you were doing.
I mean, there might have been some of that too, because, you know, just like any other kid, I had a whole lot of insecurities and wanted to be liked and wanted people to think I was cool and want, you know, like to the point where when I was in elementary school, other kids would call me out for lying because I would just agree to whatever they said and say, oh, yeah, I did that too or whatever. So they started making shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Tasha's going to get a kick out of this because she remembers these exact stories. Like I was the new kid at elementary school and I just so desperately wanted to be liked that I would lie about shit. And so they said that their favorite store was the Silver Bandana. I remember that specifically. And I was like, oh my God, me too. And they're like, that doesn't exist.
Oh no.
And then they said that they really liked the yellow Banaka. You youngins might not know what Banaka is. Do we have any Gen Z listening to this? Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah.
Like breath spray, right? The yellow kind. There's no fucking yellow kind. And I was like, oh yeah, that's the best one. But I was 9 and 10 and like desperate to be included in shit, you know?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple things that maybe the younger teen or preteen segment that is coming up with this classification or label or whatever don't really have enough perspective on yet. One is how insecure you are when you are that age and when you do just want to try to fit in. And we've talked a lot about how they don't mind not fitting in some ways, but it can increase insecurity to feel like you don't have your crew, basically.
Yeah.
Your friend group is what they call it now.
I swear to God, I've never heard the term friend group.
I heard an adult use it the other day.
Yeah, but it's like a thing all of a sudden. We didn't say that when we were growing up. We didn't have friend groups.
Really old.
We just had friends. Or not.
And the other thing that they probably aren't mature enough or developed enough to understand is the irony of how rooted in misogyny offices. Yeah. And a lot of the stuff that we read calls back to that because it's sort of, again, like elevating the male gender and like, I'm so cool because I'm male and I'm hanging out with the men, you know, or, well, not really men, the boys.
The boys, the tween boys. Yeah, I mean, this concept, the way that it's being used is an inherently gendered theory, basically, to say the girls who are going to be called this are the ones who want to be seen as one of the guys. So there's gendering just in the premise itself. So that's to say, like you're saying, being a guy is good, being a girl is bad. I don't want to be a girl. I'm going to be one of the guys. And not in a actual gender identity kind of way, but in a the way the world sees us kind of way.
Right. And liking the attention. Because almost like you're elevated from those other girls because you're hanging out with them. If they understood that conceptually, I wonder if there would be less of a desire to go down that road and
maybe
be a pick-me.
Well, yeah, maybe. I definitely, like I said, you know, I had this group of guy friends and I did have crushes on some of them, like, and it changed which one it was over the years. And there's certainly a part of me that thought like, I'm already in with these guys, therefore I can like ingratiate myself to this person. And it wasn't even that calculated. It just, it makes sense that if you get close to somebody, then they get to know who you are and you're hanging around with them and then maybe something happens or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it maybe. But
do you think it's just these kids recognizing how important authenticity is and recognizing that somebody who is intentionally exhibiting that behavior for attention, even though that may not be truly what they are authentically interested in, you know, all those things that they pretend to be cool with because they want that attention. Do you think that they're just more aware than we were of the importance of being authentic?
I hope that's the reason. That's a great reason.
Or do you think it's teenage girls being teenage girls and, you know, being bitchy and calling each other names and
well, there's always going to be that, unfortunately. And, you know, I can't help but think, and I hope there's less of this now. It seems like there's maybe less of this now, but certainly when we were younger, we were told constantly, we had all these messages about how to be more attractive to and interesting to the boys. And that was the goal. Like, that's how you do life. And then now we're calling people names for doing the thing that we told them they had to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that the labeling could come from a place of their own insecurity? That certainly, even if this person's not being authentic, they're still finding a way to integrate themselves with these guys. And that makes us feel insecure. So we're going to label and ostracize that person.
Yeah, you're weaponizing the thing that they thought they were supposed to do. You know, it just feels like this
feels like a very circular cis hetero issue.
Yes, exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah. You know, and we've talked before about how much we have to hear about the middle school drama and all that stuff. And it really started this year, maybe last year.
Well, don't forget that they may have been delayed because they missed a whole year of school with COVID.
Very true. But like, there was some stupid part of me that thought maybe we'd be free of it. And then it just came crashing
and then
into
it
our
exploded.
Lives.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. My God. I just want to be like, listen, none of you need to think about any of this shit.
I know.
It's all so stupid.
I love how frequently you try to change their world.
I know.
Michelle will just be like, listen, everyone, here's all the reasons why none of this is important. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know. And then they just go back right to what they were doing.
I'm just spitting into the wind.
Well, I appreciate your passionate attempts.
Yeah, it just feels so unbelievably, I was going to say unfair, but it's everyone.
Well, you have that experience that gives you the perspective that they don't have.
That's what I'm saying. It feels so unfair that we have to wait till we're fucking 40 to figure that shit out, to understand that we don't have to give a shit what other people think and to have no more fucks left to give. And I get that it's all part of the process and we all went through it. Some still going through it. Like, there's nothing I can do about that. I know. But God damn it. I hate that that's the way it is.
Well, at least they're talking to us about it, because I certainly never would have talked to my mom about any of this shit.
Right. And, you know, as we've said before, I get most of the intel from your kids. But, you know, it keeps me in the loop a little bit and allows me to talk to my kids about stuff that I wouldn't have otherwise been privy to. But man, yeah, this article you sent me on Bustle talks a lot about the misogyny, like you were saying. It says, critiques of the term believe that through its definition, women are still centering men in the way they navigate life. Where you fall on the pick me scale is parallel to the way you interact with the men in your circle. And then it says, the pick me definition originated on Twitter in 2016 with the hashtag tweet like a pick me, which involved users mocking one particular genre of pick me girls that brag about being, quote, wifey material. In the years that have followed, there has been an unapologetic embrace of the ultra feminine in terms of fashion, makeup, and proudly labeling oneself as a girl's girl. Euphoria-style glam with the bejeweled manicures and artistic eyeliner have replaced the no-makeup makeup style, and many people are now embracing femininity in what is known online as bimbofication.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Bimbofication.
Okay, here's some clarification. This says, in 2022, the pick-me vibe goes beyond hating lipstick, liking sports, or owning a longboard. Videos online share that you can spot a pick-me girl if they're someone that puts other girls down, especially when in a group setting with a lot of men. By putting others down, pick-me girls seek validation and approval from the men of the group and do so in order to get, quote, picked, whether as a romantic interest or as an accepted member of the inner clique. So that makes more sense, I guess.
Dovetailing on that, there is an article on modernintimacy.com called The Psychology of Pick-me Girls. It says, while the term pick-me girl is gendered, it's important to note that there are male versions of pick-me girls called simps or sometimes nice guys. However, the problematic traits of a pick-me personality can span across all genders. These women are easy to pick on because her attitude towards women's interests, mannerisms, lifestyle choices, and hobbies feel inauthentic and is ultimately rooted in misogyny. She has no problem putting other women down to gain male attention and validation, whether or not she knows that's typically the intent. Okay, so then it goes on to say, to unpack why the pick-me girl is the way she is, it's important to understand internalized misogyny. Internalized misogyny conceptualizes the way some women will feel contempt towards their own gender. It's often subconscious and can be hard to identify when women grow up in cultures with patriarchal values that favor traditional masculine traits.
Mm-hmm.
So then it talks about how most women have probably experienced internalized misogyny.
Most? I'd say all.
It says, this kind of goes along with what we were just saying, someone who is a pick-me girl likely has not yet unpacked why she feels compelled to proudly demonstrate loyalty to men while distancing herself from fellow women-identifying people. The pick-me girl simply wants, as the name suggests, to be picked. If she is deemed worthy by the men she surrounds herself with, she might be chosen by one of those men as a partner. It typically feels good to be wanted and hurts when we feel lonely and rejected.
Mm-hmm. I always say feeling desired is intoxicating.
That's right. And that spans all genders. Mm-hmm. And
doesn't matter who you are.
This is such an interesting article. It goes on to say, the thing to remember is that these women suffer under patriarchy, whether they are aware of it or not. When a pick-me girl constructs her personality around what men want her to be, she is shrinking and limiting her true self. The pick-me girl doesn't get to wear what she really wants to wear, like what she really wants to like, and enjoy her preferences without fear that she'll be rejected by men or labeled just like other girls.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Yeah, so it all comes down to insecurity, need for validation, and a bunch of bullshit stereotypes.
And internalized misogyny.
Absolutely. Every single day, we all interact in the world with internalized misogyny. All of us.
Mm-hmm.
You can't escape it because that's the world that we've been brought up in.
Even men have to struggle with that. And that's how you come up with things like toxic masculinity or, you know, simps, like they were talking about that article. I think we've talked about them before. Have we defined what a simp is on this?
I don't think we have.
Would you like to do the honors?
Well, let me find an official source, because I'm not going to have a dictionary definition ready for you.
But... Well, I think it's basically just a guy that is deemed to be weak because he is less masculine in that he is kind to women, likes spending time with women in a friendship capacity. I don't know. Am I close?
Well, there's an article from CNN called Simp, the new slang teenagers use to insult boys who are too nice to girls. And they reference Urban Dictionary. Thank you, CNN, for doing that hard-hitting research.
Hey, sometimes you got to go straight to the source of truth.
I love it.
And that's what Urban Dictionary
is. Yeah, that maybe sounded like a sarcastic thank you, but I meant it. It says Urban Dictionary's top definition of a simp is someone who does way too much for a person they like. So no gendering in that.
Okay.
Other definitions on the crowdsourced online dictionary include a man who puts the hoes before the bros and a guy that is overly desperate for women, especially if she is a bad person, or has expressed her disinterest in him whom which he continues to obsess over.
I had to take a minute to think about that to process.
Yeah, the grammar's weird, but a slang for a person, typically a man, who is desperate for the attention and affection of someone else, typically a woman.
It's funny how that seems to be focusing on the singular, a woman.
Yeah. Think the energy of puppy dog eyes, but manifested in a romantic human form. Use it in an insulting manner. So I think that that first definition that they said, someone who does way too much for a person they like, that's the most straightforward and relatable
but
definition
I have
I've heard.
Typically seen it used, though, yes, to describe men.
Yes. Because men aren't supposed to be nice, Megan.
Right. It's considered weak.
And feminine is considered weak. So don't be feminine,
there's
men.
Internalized misogyny,
exactly,
again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's the thing that sucks about junior high and high school that was true when we were in it. Oh, by the way, we called it junior high, not middle school where I grew up.
I feel like we had both here. Mine was a middle school, but it only had seventh and eighth grade.
People are so quick to label you for any kind of behavior, whether that's fair or not. I mean, somebody could even just make up behavior that you didn't really exhibit and then give you a label or start a rumor or whatever. And then it just explodes. And then you are constantly either having to live with that or fight against it.
Yeah.
That movie Easy A that I've talked about a few times.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Which, if anybody doesn't know, is based on The Scarlet Letter.
Right. And it's got Emma Stone in it. It's a perfect example of how somebody decided something about her.
Yeah.
The funny thing was she just sort of leaned into it.
She took advantage of it. She's like, here's an opportunity. I guess I'll go ahead with it.
Right. It is a good demonstration of what junior high or high school is like. And you kind of, at least I did when I was that age, live in that fear of being labeled in some kind of way. So it's like you just kind of put your head down and hope to God that nobody decides that you are something or some kind of way or whatever. And it's just a terrible, fearful way to live your life every day. Plus try to do your academic stuff and your social stuff and your sports if you play sports or whatever. I mean, it is a tough time in life.
It's so hard to navigate all of that at once, especially when you could have some sort of grenade lobbed at you from way behind. And now there's some label on you that you'll never get rid of.
Right. And as adults, that's not acceptable behavior.
I mean,
society.
I wish
mostly.
It wasn't.
Well, no, like I shouldn't, and I don't think this would happen in a professional environment, like go to work and then be labeled as something like that. And I mean, you can go to HR. Basically, like there's repercussions
right.
for people.
Yeah.
I suppose there's repercussions for bullying, but only so much of that is controlled. And so it's just, the whole environment is tough to navigate. And
I was just telling you, I think the other day, that I came back after the summer before my senior year, I went back to school first week of senior year, and I found out that I'd had sex with three guys that summer. I was still a virgin. And I was like, ooh, how was I?
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't have sex until April of my senior year. But over the summer, man, I got it.
How did that make you feel the first time you heard that?
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can only like joke about it now and say, how was I? Like, sure. I guarantee I didn't say that then.
Yeah.
Certainly not first thing.
If you had, I would have been very impressed with your, yeah. you know,
I think I got there composure. Eventually, but
yeah, in the just, moment it feels like shit.
Yeah. So anybody from high school who's listening who thought I was a slut, mm-hmm. I wish my friends, mm-hmm. I wish.
I remember being targeted one time because I got picked for an all-state team in sports.
How dare you be good at something? How dare you?
I'm not even going to say the sport, but this other girl didn't
bowling?
Get
it. Was it bowling? It was skee ball.
Curling. No, just kidding. God, if skee ball was a sport, I would be like
Olympic.
An MVP. Yeah.
Olympic level.
Anyway, so I got this all-state nomination and this girl on my team didn't. So her boyfriend, I later found out is who it was, but I didn't know at the time, cut the all-state nomination announcement out of the paper because I lived in a small enough town that they would put those in the paper, mm-hmm. circled my name, put a question mark next to it and taped it to my locker.
Oh my God.
And I was like, cool. That felt really good to basically have someone tape that up there for the whole school to walk by and see, like, questioning why I would get this all-state nomination. Kids are fucking mean.
Yeah. And it all fucking stems from insecurity. If people felt secure about themselves, there would be no need, no reason to talk shit about other people, to do things like that to other people. It's all coming from, like, trying to make yourself feel superior.
I think that kids are the worst to each other in middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. They are nicer to each other in like kindergarten through fifth grade or
yep.
as adults, you know?
Yep.
It's just a cesspool of mean comments and labeling and bullying. And
until you get to 40 and your fucks have run out.
It happens earlier for some people.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's as prevalent as you become an adult. There are some societal rules around that kind of shit that people are like, yeah, it's not cool. You know, like, I'm not going to celebrate you bullying somebody.
I should fucking hope not.
I guess thinking about that comment when those girls, they were trying to be mean. They were just trying to find a way to describe what this girl was like mm-hmm. now. But maybe they don't even realize that it's kind of a mean thing to label somebody that way because that's their everyday world that they live in.
Right. But it sounds like from these definitions that the pick me girl is putting down the car full of girls that you then heard it from. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
But I know this other girl too. And I was surprised to hear that because it's a kid that I've coached and I always thought she was a great kid. And
it's all very circular.
They're all just trying to figure themselves out. Yeah. And it's a jungle out there. And they're
That's why I keep trying to tell them. I know it doesn't work, but.
Well, it is probably still good for them to hear, have it just circulating around in their mind, processing it slowly. And the good news is that they're still telling us about this kind of stuff.
Right. They can ignore me all they want. But like you said, it'll get in there at least on some level. And if I can help them
in one situation
or to reach the conclusion of not giving a shit what other people think or to reach authenticity any earlier than I did, then I'll take it as a win.
Not giving a shit what other people think is really hard at that age.
Yeah, it's really hard at any age, frankly. I mean, I'm mostly there, I think. Actually, a good friend of mine, my friend Neil the other day said, you're the only person I know who's not afraid of themselves. And
Do you agree with that statement?
Everybody's afraid of themselves a little bit.
Sure.
And I said as much to him, like, I mean, I'm afraid of myself, but I'm not afraid to be myself and to let people see it.
You got that vulnerability down.
Yeah. And it took me a really long time to be okay with that and to be authentic that way. So if, you know, our kids can hit that at fucking 28 instead of 38, like I did, then great.
All the better.
Yeah.
Might result in more success in long-term relationships as well.
Here's hoping. Yeah. It's so interesting thinking about how so many things have changed in this world, in their worlds. Mm-hmm. And yet so much of it's the same bullshit that we dealt with.
Yeah, I think it's just amplified with social media.
Oh, God. Yeah. Just the access that these kids have that we I mean, it didn't exist. We didn't have anything like that. The fact that they can send porn to each other at 13 years old. Like, yes. If I was going to show somebody porn, it was because they were at my house and I was like, oh my God, so look what I found.
Well, and as a parent, it's much more daunting. My parents could have kept super close tabs on me if they wanted. They were like kind of mediocre about how intensely they tracked what I did. But our kids have like texting and Discord chats and Snapchat and Instagram. And I mean, our kids don't have all that stuff as in yours and mine kids. Right. But my kids have plenty of friends that have all those things.
Yeah.
So what parent is going to have time every night or even once a week to sit down and read through email, text, Discord chats, Instagram messages,
like it's so much.
Everything, Snapchat, which, you know, goes away, but not really. That's part of the problem with it. It's too much to track. So if you're giving your kids that freedom to have access to all that social media, then I think you're accepting that you're not going to be able to keep tabs on everything they do.
Well, I haven't given my kids all that stuff and I still can't keep tabs on everything they do. It's daunting, like you said. Like my kids have.
How much of it is an invasion of privacy, too?
I think that's a sticky one because, I mean, we set up in our family. It was like, okay, here's this device. This device belongs to mom and dad, and you get to use it. And the rules around it are that we can look at it at any time.
Right.
So behave accordingly. But then we haven't really done that consistently. And so,
and they know that
exactly. And so it's definitely, you know, the times I have taken a little peek, like the language that my eldest uses, and I don't give a shit about swearing. Obviously I'm not a person who cares about that. It's, I mean, you've never heard me say fuck. So
what the fuck?
Never, ever. I don't care if my kid swears. Don't do it at school. Don't do it at your teacher. You know, I would rather you learn the appropriate usage and the appropriate venue, like time and place, and know how to do it, then have it be a prohibition. But it flows fucking freely in those chats.
I guess when I say like privacy is there have been times where I've looked at stuff because something's been concerning and I've seen what's kind of like a romantic or flirtatious exchange between somebody that I know they're quote dating. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm feeling like a little bit of a privacy invasion because they didn't know I was going to read that, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I do feel like we can always lean back on the, well, this was the rule from the get-go, but if it hasn't been upheld consistently, I mean, it absolutely would feel like an invasion of privacy to them. I know that. So
it's just so much of how they communicate with each other, though.
Right. You know? Right. My eldest has text, Discord. They're on Tumblr.
Pinterest has suddenly made a roaring comeback.
Yeah. The kids are all on Pinterest.
Yeah.
My kids do not have Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, those things. But there's plenty of other ways that they see all that content.
Well, also, even just like news, sensitive news stuff. Like we were talking earlier about the people that were crushed over Halloween in Korea. And you were saying like, I hadn't seen that. When I was reading the first news story about it that I saw, my 13-year-old looked over my shoulder and said, oh, I just read about that this morning.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody about a school shooting the other day. And both my kids were like, we saw an article about that or whatever. So they are also reading the news.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, by the time I look at something that could be sensitive or triggering, they already know about it.
They're so desensitized to the bullshit that is this world because they see it constantly. It's all they've really ever known. I was just talking with my eldest the other day and they were basically saying like, why would anybody have kids? Why? And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Genuinely doesn't understand why you would bring someone into this world.
Well, part of that I think is because they have so much more knowledge and awareness of the challenges than we did.
I was like, I didn't know. Sorry.
I can't put you back now.
You're here now. Let's make the most of it. Yeah. Anyway, on that uplifting note.
I mean, they still like to do things like get dressed up and go out trick-or-treating. So they're not that dark in their hole.
That is true. Yeah. I was noting yesterday that this is the age, eighth grade, where I had a Halloween party. We all went out trick-or-treating And then half the houses we went to were like, you're too old. Get out of here.
That sucks.
It's so stupid.
Didn't you try to say something about this on social media and it didn't get posted or something?
Well, I saw a little meme about it and tried to post it to our neighborhood Facebook group because I was going to have a 13-year-old out there trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that has to get approved by the admin for the group, and it didn't. And I don't know if that was intentional or what, whatever. It doesn't matter. But like, what would you rather they be out there doing? Would you rather they be partying? Would you rather they be
TPing
a house? Like, so what? They want a fucking fun size Snickers, Karen. Let it go. Like, sorry, Karen's out there. It's just, there are so many ways in which they don't get to be kids for very long. Mm-hmm. Let them have some fucking candy.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? I don't get it.
Give them the Snickers.
Give them a full size if you've got it. Be cool, man. Be the cool house.
That's right.
Have Jello shots for the parents. They need them.
Be the pick me house.
That's right. Did I tell you about the last year I ever went trick-or-treating and what I dressed up as?
Yes, you did tell me. But why don't you tell everyone else?
I feel like it's worth it. My mom's going to love that I'm telling this story. Freshman year in high school, my friends and I were like, nah, we're not going to go trick-or-treating. We're too old. And then Halloween rolls around, and of course, we wanted to go out trick-or-treating, but didn't have costumes.
Hard to pass up all that candy.
I know. I don't remember what anybody else threw together, but my brilliant idea, and I pulled it off, was I took a hefty bag, cut holes for my legs, and I climbed inside, and I stuffed it with wadded up newspaper, so it was big and bulky, but lightweight. Tied it around my neck with like red drawstrings, stapled some wrappers to my outside of my bag, smudged up my face so I looked real dirty. And I went as trash. I dressed up as garbage.
The original trash rat.
For Halloween. That's right. What the fuck? Anyway, the kids have candy hangovers. I think it's 4 a.m.
It's not, just so you
all know. It's 9:10.
And, you know, we drank a fair amount of Hocus Pocus Punch or whatever that was.
Liz and Chris made. Thank you, Liz and Chris.
Quite delicious.
Fun Andy had Jello shots.
He had a Jello shot necklace.
He did. His costume was a shot in the dark.
He was wearing all black and a Jello shot necklace.
He goes as puns for Halloween.
But he also had a shot glass conveniently near him at all times.
That's true.
He was calling the Jello shots bad decisions. He would say, do you want a couple more bad decisions?
Yes, please. It is Monday after all.
That's right.
And now it is Tuesday and I'm tired.
Hopefully you have one more Dahmer episode in you.
Oh, we're doing one more Dahmer episode.
And earlier you made a comment that everybody is a little bit afraid of themselves, and I'm not sure he was.
That's a whole other episode. I disagree with you, but okay. We don't have time for that right now.
We'll respectfully agree to disagree.
Okay. We do that a lot.
Yes, we do. We're seasoned.
You know what else we do a lot? Tell people to go online and find us at ProseccoTheory.com and on Instagram at ProseccoTheory. And you can find our merch at tpublic.com.
We don't do that a lot. You do that a lot.
That's right. Because for us, that is what we're supposed to do.
I know.
Tell people to go rate and review and subscribe wherever you listen. And tell your friends. Invite them to the party.
Email us and let us know how you were labeled and picked on in high school.
How many guys did you sleep with the summer before your senior year
without knowing
you didn't
it.
Actually sleep with?
And watch Easy A if you haven't watched it. It's That's a good right. one. All right, my friend.
That's all I got.
Me too.
Let's call it. Were you going to say let's call it?
I was.
Oh my God. Jinx.
That's a wrap. Cheers.
Cheers.